Thank you all for coming. My name's Ian McPherson, and I work at Amazon Web Services. I'm in charge of our media and entertainment partner ecosystem, by and large in the Americas, but it seems to drive me all over the world. So I see quite a few familiar faces here. And so, you know, I came here to talk ostensibly about what Fox Sports has done at the World Cup, but in a more general sense, this is really a talk about innovation. And this is kind of a waypoint and a check-in to see, you know, where we are today and what trends we're seeing and where we might go in the future. By combining cloud technologies, AI, ML, partner technologies for MAMS and DAMs, and then other networking and downstream content acceleration technologies. So we'll cover a little bit of sort of the bigger picture, and then we'll get into the specifics of how these pieces came together around the World Cup, which is really a pretty interesting use case. And so when I look at the landscape, especially when we start looking in entertainment and drilling down into sports, you know, we see a lot of companies who have started to take the combination of content and data and make faster decisions and more personalized content decisions using AI, ML, using cloud technologies. We see the ability to take metadata as it relates to clips that's automatically generated by companies like Grey Meta, like Veritone, even with our own SageMaker product and some of the underlying managed services, and use that information to provide users a different personalized experience, second screen enhanced experiences. And so today we're going to talk about Fox, but we could just as easily today be talking about what Veritone and Wazee did for live clipping in the US Open. I think we're just seeing finally where sports owners, broadcasters, rights holders are realizing that fan engagement's more than just being able to stream that content anywhere. It's enhancing the content, it's enhancing the experience, enhancing it with information, it's enhancing it with offers, it's enhancing it with feedback loops. So when I look at some of the things that have been notable, and this was by and large, these are OTT applications, these were streaming applications, but by taking some of that content and moving it to the cloud for processing and distribution, we're able to look at things like Hotstar having almost 11 million concurrent viewers for the cricket matches in the World Series of Cricket. I'm sorry if I'm getting that wrong, but the equivalent thereof. And you know, these are mostly mobile devices. So you know, that ability to scale and be elastic with on-demand capacity, as well as a pay-as-you-go model to not have to pre-provision the content with the infrastructure, makes it possible for them to spin up an environment, host 11 million users, and spin it down and turn off all the content or all the resources they don't need once the event is over. Same thing with looking at how fans are engaging with the content and driving increased subscriptions because you can enhance more than just what the linear playout experience looks like over a mobile device. You've got overlays, you've got data enhancements. And when we're looking at the trends across sports, we see that 50% of the people are now looking for enhanced, either second screen or enhanced personal experience. So when we're looking at what that means specifically to content and fan engagement, you know, we've got live access of content, and we now have streaming OTT and skinny bundles that are bringing sports content. We're moving into a world where you can have global rights distribution for things like Premier League in America. You can have baseball in Asia. You can have NFL in England. And that cross-pollination of sports content and viewership opens up these opportunities to be able to deliver that content. But that is only possible because this content is now pushed into the cloud and made immediately available. And so that experience that somebody in India has in watching the World Series coming up is going to look just like the experience the American viewer has. It can be at the same time, it can be time shifted, but now we have the ability to open up a much larger customer ecosystem and audience for people who are now broadcasting that content. And again, you know, the content that lives in the cloud now can be also indexed, repurposed for other digital channels, social media channels, And we'll kind of walk through that specifically as we get to what happened with the World Cup. And then, you know, obviously we're looking at providing those primitive tools. My job here is to help our partners take those technologies, integrate them in their platforms, and enhance their offerings so they can be more innovative and they can accelerate their pace of innovation and optimize their costs based on a pay-as-you-go model. So I'm here to champion all of our partners. I'm here to talk specifically about what these partners in this case have done, but really anybody who has needs for understanding how to basically build new technologies, new services, new offerings on AWS, I'm happy to talk to you and help guide you through that process. So just a couple of things that are probably worth calling out and where we've seen a lot of innovation come in the last couple of years. Maybe the first thing that really stood out was the work we did with MLBAM several years ago launching StatCast, where now you see within 7 or 8 seconds after an event, home run or something like that, that data now comes back to the broadcasters and you'll hear them talk about, hey, that exit velocity, that, you know, the runtime to first base. All of those things are calculated based on that continual streaming of data coming out of the stadiums. Major League Baseball made a big investment in enhancing data collection, and we were fortunate enough to be able to work with them to provide the back end data lakes, data analytics, and then visualizations that they needed to be able to offer this service. We now see the NFL having done something similar around, you know, in-game analytics that we're providing for them based on their stadiums. And we can kind of go through a lot of these other ones where there's been, you know, notable enhancement for customer experience. So we're guiding, but these companies are leading. And most of the time what they're leading with is partners who have come to them and said, great, now we can offer you what we've done historically, we can do this cloud, we can make it ubiquitous, we can make it global, and we can make it on demand. So when we think about what this looks like, we see, you know, two streams. We see live content acquisition, and we see file-based workflows to support linear broadcast, and we see OTT and VOD, SVOD, AVOD, content delivery and distribution, where this could be a second screen experience. This could be enhancements that were made in prior delivery. It could also be in collecting information about user interests and feeding that back in so you can optimize for personalization and, again, look at those secondary social or digital channels to enhance and attract more user and subscriber loyalty. Just a couple of interesting recent announcements. I like the Formula One announcement where they decided to, they chose AWS and they've imported 70 years worth of data and analytics into the cloud and built data lakes so that they can apply machine learning algorithms and train models to give you predictive windows for when your optimal time for pit stops are. They can provide that data back to teams on individual race or performance. And then they can also make this kind of data available back to their fans on mobile devices or streaming applications, which is a really interesting thing if you think about it, because so much of, you know, racing has been about the experience and understanding of how cars perform and the strategy of when it's ideal to make tire changes or do, you know, pit stops. And now we're taking that and synthesizing it and optimizing it. So it'll be interesting to see how that comes and affects, you know, how people even approach their race strategies, because, you know, now you're going to start to see data being used as the driver's primary guidance for, you know, this is sprints, times, and strategies. You know, we talked a little bit about next-gen stats. That feature, if you go on the NFL network, you get to see comparatively how you can rank and assess player performance. And I think with NFL, or football in general, you know, those kinds of statistics about speed and separation are become really critical to evaluating players and bringing some of the sabermetrics that we had in baseball for a long time that were just analytics, but building those kinds of profiles for players and letting GMs, letting talent scouts, letting managers or owners even make better decisions about the value of certain players and how they weight and set preferences as to what players they pay, what players where they rank in terms of their overall performance. So we're trying to provide infrastructure and let builders innovate. But our infrastructure and the ability of our customers to take those services and make meaningful solutions out of them largely depends on companies who will build products. And so this partner ecosystem becomes very key to what we're doing. This isn't definitive. It's an old slide. I apologize if there are partners that aren't on here who should be. But what we have is a very rich partner ecosystem of hundreds of partners who have said, we can take AWS services and we can be more nimble, more agile, more innovative by bringing those solutions. And so we provide, as a customer-obsessed company, provide our end users that opportunity for choice. You can take these services, you can build them yourself. You can work with us to use these services in quick starts and basically confirmation templates. Or you can work with partners who have built solutions out that you will be able to use and scale as products, as outcomes. And so as I look through this ecosystem, you know, there's a lot of innovation going on right now in broadcast, and that's what we're going to get to next. The history of where the cloud has really been most impactful to date has really been around nonlinear. But now as we start looking at what's gone on with companies like Turner moving their media supply chain to the cloud, with Discovery starting to do broadcast playout and channel origination from the cloud, we're now seeing live linear taking some of the same steps that the evolution of OTT came in the last 4 or 5 years. So we have a set of media services, and I can take this diagram and I can replace any of these boxes with a partner solution, and we will in the Fox instance. From my perspective, we care about the end user's experience, the customer's experience. So if they come to us and say, okay, this is how we want this to work, but in this case, we need to use XYZ company as this in this square, for me, that's still a win because they're still innovating and they're still developing and deploying in AWS. So I'm here to advocate for the best possible customer outcome, and partners are the key to doing that in our ecosystem. So let's talk a little bit about AI, because AI has become the soup du jour, if you will. You went to NAB this year. Every company had AI somewhere in their booth. And we have launched our higher level AI services that allow you to do video processing, natural language processing, text to speech, transcription, translation. And these are all products that are in continuous development and evolution. There's also other products out there in the marketplace that do similar things. And so when we look at this, we provide you a very deep set of resources here. But then you can take those resources from companies like Veritone or like Grey Meta and have somebody who's basically building you a managed service that is going to continually optimize the performance of underlying engines or services to a specific outcome. So I highlight them because for a lot of companies, AI still is a little bit daunting. And you know, even if you're not building and training your own algorithms, you know, your need to get somebody who can provide you a SaaS platform or a managed service to generate the kinds of insights you're looking for becomes really important in terms of time to be able to get to the outcome you're driving to. So there's a lot of work we see right now going on in rehydrating content archives, taking tape, LTO tape, moving them back in. Ultimately, I mean, that's only going to happen if you can justify it because there's a monetization strategy. Very, very rarely do you say, well, I don't really want to pay for my LTO tapes, I'm going to go on and just move this to the cloud for cold storage. But when I can take 30 years of some sports league, and I can digitize that, run that through an AI engine, create metadata against that, and build very searchable and indexed content repositories in a MAM, then I can start to offer things back to media companies where it can be specific clips, I could build new content offerings. I have the ability to understand what I have without having some intern go through and after 2,000 hours having done 150 hours of some sports league. So the time to be able to get your content into the cloud and understand what you have has reduced dramatically. And I don't have a number on it, but it's an order of magnitude at least. To be able to get indexed content into the cloud and available to your customers, if you are a broadcaster, if you are a content producer, it's hard to overstate the impact of AI on this. AI is a lot of things, and in many times it's everything to everybody when the vendors are pitching it. I'm just looking at this and saying, we have that basic capability, and those projects are ongoing. Now we're starting to see how AI is impacting live broadcast and live customer experiences. Earlier this year, you may have read about the royal wedding in Britain, where we worked with Sky, and provided the Who's Who application, where this was real-time facial recognition of guests at the royal wedding. And we overlaid the metadata of who that person was. Say David Beckham walked in the room to say, well, this is a David Beckham, British football star, married to Spice Girl XYZ. And there was a tremendous upswell of interest in that kind of real-time enhancement to these live events. And so those projects have now started to steep into what are traditional linear broadcasts or live broadcasts. And so that is sort of the next marker. And now if we, excuse me a sec. And it's a good segue or setup for the discussion about what happened at Fox. And so World Cup is, by and large, the biggest sporting event in the world in terms of the size, number of viewers, and scale, right?
Absolutely.
Everybody except America cares about the World Cup. I'm just kidding. We like the World Cup. I watched a lot of World Cup, even though America's not in it. It's still that, that event itself just brings together the world, similar to the Olympics, but in a very friendly, competitive way. So, being in Russia, there's a little bit of a challenge in terms of setting up broadcast operations and the costs for getting people there. So they wanted to take a look at how they could do production differently around the broadcast of the World Cup. So they worked with several of our partners, Aspera, Telestream, and ReachEngine, to put together a system by which they could take the continuous feeds from all of the cameras and all the stadiums, bring them into the cloud, and make that content available virtually immediately, within seconds, not minutes, but tens of seconds, to their editors, and keep those editors in Los Angeles and London, where they were working. Now, in order to do that, you had to have, obviously, a lot of data connectivity and throughput, which Aspera was integral in providing. Telestream did the encoding, and we'll walk into the functions. But ReachEngine was an integral part of this because they were not only creating the repository, they were also brokering the clipping service through AI. And in this case, the AI was Watson. They worked extensively with Watson to train those models. And it's a good example of, look, this is a win for the customer. It's a win for AWS because we are able to showcase the value of the cloud and the value of data availability, replication, low latency across those regions. But when the customer says, gee, I need to use Telestream, and they didn't choose Elemental, we're still happy to take that project and move it forward. Same thing with moving forward with Watson and not using our AI services. We are agnostic as to, you know, we prefer you to use all AWS services, but the customer is the center, and that's their choice. So,
just look at the.
So what did this actually require? So they had 384 people editing this content, and so this was needing to facilitate collaboration, and this wasn't proxies. This was actually the live streams coming in from the stadiums, and they wanted. Did I say something wrong? So this was also supporting the Sky production in London as well. So there was teams in Pico on Fox, the Fox team in Pico, as well as teams in London with Sky. And they had multiple constituents that they were driving this to. The big part of it was to have a very short turnaround time so they could provide clips back to the broadcast centers and use this in their actual TV broadcasts. But they were also looking at digital and social media as the other outlets that could turn this content and these clips around quickly. So this required them to do quite a bit of training on the models to build these automated clipping services, building models for a goal, for a penalty kick, for a red card or a yellow card, you know, and being able to isolate and identify those with time markers that would just allow the editors to come take that content, and they were using Adobe Premiere. They were actually pulling that content down, working on workstations, putting it back up, and delivering it back. We see a lot of innovation right now around companies looking to deliver cloud-based editing, so editing in the cloud. A number of different partners do this, but as of right now, you know, for this scale of production, they were actually doing the editing on workstations. But because they could isolate just the clips they needed to work on, they wasn't having to take down the entire file, work on it, chop it up, and then send it back and send up the pieces. So it greatly reduced the time by being able to isolate those incidents. They were also getting the feeds from, you know, 20 cameras simultaneously from a given stadium. So there was a lot of content in there and a lot of coordination. All of that information and all of those clips became immediately available to the editors and the people who are collaborating through the Reach Engine interface. And this is a little bit of what it looked like, with content coming in from the cameras, hitting Telestream for the encoding, shipped into the cloud, made available via Aspera, made available then through to the Los Angeles editing crews, and coordination through the scheduling tools, and then turning it around, sending it back to EBS or back into CloudFront or the social media platforms that they want those clips to be used in. So, a few numbers. We had a total of 1.9 petabytes of content delivered. There's nearly 2,000 separate live feeds. 29,000 clips were generated from that throughout the course of three weeks. This was 10 stadiums. At one point, they had 66 concurrent feeds bursting at AWS. So, you know, if you just thought about the capacity for, you know, the storage you'd need on site for storing all of that, it would be enormous. And then you factor in the challenges of working in Russia, bringing equipment in and not being able to use it again once it's been, at least on the live network, once it's been there, you know, there, and not having to send 348 editors to Russia. I don't know the ROI on this project. I don't know the numbers, but you can see what the incentives were for them to look at a different approach, certainly, in doing this. And it kind of goes back to innovation, like what we started with. That ability to think differently about how you engage a customer, how you make content, how you deliver content, because you have a rich set of cloud services, you have a rich partner ecosystem, and you have a customer-obsessed company who wants to bring the best possible user experience. It's a phenomenal accomplishment, and you know, I'm not here to claim this is ours. These were certainly Fox's and our partners' initiatives, but we're really happy that they chose to work with us and use us, and that we were able to support them on that. So I'll finish up with this. This is Art Raymond, the CEO of Levels Beyond. And, you know, that ability to take content and continuously stream content from halfway around the world and turn that live content into relevant targeted clips for specific audiences or use cases and purposes, broadcast, replay, social media, within a matter of minutes, you know, while in-game, it was a phenomenal accomplishment. So we see this as a waypoint. You know, we're going to see more innovation. We're going to see companies doing more interesting things with, as it comes to live in-game enhancements. But this was stood out, and I should, you know, I commend them for the effort and the outcomes they were generating. I congratulate Fox for a really good World Cup experience. So that's what I got for you. It would be the largest one I know. It would be. It's the largest one I know about, and that doesn't make it the largest one, but it's certainly. Yeah, I have a hard time imagining. I don't know what happens on the public sector side, and some of what they might be doing with concurrent data streaming from body cams and a bunch of other things like that. But as a commercial event, yeah. And where else would you have 66 concurrent live feeds of broadcast quality video? I'm not sure.
I was saying drones are a big one.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
What region was your first
call? U.S. East. Yeah. So they came to U.S. East, and that's where the content was being worked on. Anyone else? All right. Hey, thank you guys very much for coming.